Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The title, Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp, says it all. Author Hugh Doss, life experiences are unusual because they always tried to make decisions in the best interest of the Marine Corps or the various companies he's worked for, as well as the men working for him. Hugh tells his story of becoming a better leader in both the Marine Corps and various corporations. He outlines the ways in which tireless efforts are both resented by bad leaders and appreciated beyond measure by strong leaders. Hugh is an active Baptist church member, married for 57 years, has one son, two daughters. He's been a very successful salesman, sales manager, started numerous businesses, and invested in startups. Hugh served as a Marine Corps infantry officer. That was in the first large force before leaving the United States in May 1965 to go to Vietnam, and participated in the first large battle in August of 1965 called Starlight. And Hugh Doss, author of Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp, is our guest on This Week in America. Hugh, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I love the book. So much background, great background on you, what you've gone through, how you've grown as a leader, and a book that's going to help so many people. What prompted you to write the book? Where did this idea for Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp come from?
Well, I had never considered writing a book until I received a request from Bill Asbury, who was one of my Marine buddies, and we commuted to the base together, and we were in the same officer's basic class in Quantico, Virginia, and still stay in touch today. But he wanted to write a book about his life and experiences. And he had a longer Marine Corps career than I did. And he asked me to write some of the things that happened to me or I experienced and where I was in Vietnam. So I wrote him about 12 pages and sent it to him. And he used it in his book. He would occasionally say, and Hugh Doss was in such and such a location doing something. And I had so much fun writing that for him, just a dozen or so pages, that I said, gee, I had a lot of experiences in the Corps and a lot in my career, and I think I'll write about them. So I did, and it took a while to do.
Well, the book is doing really well now. Excellent reviews for Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp. Hugh Doss is our guest and the author, D-O-S-S. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places, and we'll have a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So how long did it take you to write this? Once you got this idea that, you know, I've got a story worth sharing, how long did it take to get it ready for publication?
It really took about 2 years because I didn't spend a lot of time writing it every day. I would just kind of write it when I felt inspired to write. And so it was about 2 years to finish the book. And then, of course, it took a while to get it published and everything.
Well, it's there now, and people are reviewing it, giving it 5-star reviews, and you'll see why. Look at the information, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Did you have any concerns about writing it, in particular going back and reliving some of those early days as a young man in Vietnam and what you went through there? Any concerns in writing the book?
Well, my concerns mostly were who was going to sue me.
Legitimate concern, yes.
I was a little disrespectful of a lot of the people that I worked for. I praised the good managers and was very difficult on the bad managers. However, it was no secret to them that I felt that way because I told them what I felt. In fact, I was surprised I didn't get fired a number of times when I even told my boss's boss on a couple of occasions that he was incompetent. So, Then they got on him for not being able to control me.
Well, that comes out in the book, an early experience in there. You're in Vietnam and you're told to do something and you know better than to do that. And you didn't. And you were able to get through that. And is that one of the lessons of leadership, is sometimes you have to put up the roadblock and go, no, that's not going to happen. Sometimes honesty is a part of leadership, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, honestly, when I refused to obey that order, I'd been on a patrol for about a week with my platoon, and we were on the way back when I got an order, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing here, but I thought it was ridiculous. I questioned the order. I was told to carry it out, and that the battalion commander insisted I carry it out, and I said, I'm not going to do it. So before we got back to base, I began to see headlines in my hometown newspaper about being court-martialed for disobeying an order, but it turned out okay.
Well, it did, and it's interesting, the reaction of your men. Is that something that builds, when you make a decision that they understand is correct, and you're sticking your neck out there to make up to make a decision, in this case, could be life and death for the people under you, does that solidify your position as a leader, gaining that respect by what you honestly do?
To my men, it did. They were amazed that I disobeyed the order and told them I wasn't going to obey it. And they were tired. We'd been out a week. You know, we're almost back to base camp. And, you know, they were elated. I don't think they were worried about me getting court-martialed because that wasn't their concern. That was my concern. But they were really happy I disobeyed the order.
With us on the program is Hugh Doss, D-O-S-S. The book is Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp. The book available wherever books are sold. After you were wounded, you encountered two people from your very small hometown in Louisiana within a three-day period, I believe, at the Naval Hospital in Japan. Was this a complete surprise? How did that circumstance happen, that coincidence?
It was a very big surprise to me because I had no idea that one of them, who was a Navy corpsman, was stationed at the hospital. And I think somebody from my hometown, Amite, Louisiana, let him know that I was there because he recognized me from a great distance, and I didn't know who he was until he got really close to me. Of course, he'd gained a lot of weight. But the other guy was a Lieutenant J.G. in the Navy, and his ship was just in Port of Yokosuka. And I had seen him the year before when I was at Camp Pendleton because I'd run into him on base because he was in a school there. He was a naval officer, but he was in a school there at Camp Pendleton. And so I invited him over to the apartment to have dinner with my wife and I. And so I had seen him about a year before, but to see him in Yokosuka, Japan was really unusual. In fact, I was sitting with several officers in the officers club, which was near the naval, in fact, almost next door to the Naval Hospital. And somebody slapped me on the shoulder and said, "What the hell are you doing here?" And it was Tommy Koffler, who I'd gone to high school with. He was a year older than me. But the next time I saw Tommy was in 1979, my 30-year high school reunion.
Yes.
And you know, I hadn't seen him since then. Now, like I said, he was in the class before me, but his class had not had a 30-year reunion, so they threw in with our class and had a 31-year reunion. So I saw him then, and the next time I saw him is years later after he retired and came back to Amy to live after his retirement. So I've only seen him three times since 1966.
Amazing.
And that's the reason.
Amazing stories in Hugh's book. The book is entitled Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp. You were quite successful as a salesman, as a sales manager. To what do you attribute that? And I will use one quote in there. You say, "I found that I frequently had to protect my customer from my company." Let's talk about the success that you had. And again, the honesty there, you're looking out for the people that are providing your living by being your customers.
That's true. And so to be successful as a salesman and a sales manager, for that matter, working hard, no matter what your position, working hard is the best criteria for success. And I mean that sincerely. I've never seen anybody that had some talent that worked hard and failed. But I've seen a lot of people with talent fail because they didn't work hard. And I think that's because of their looks, their talent, or whatever, maybe intelligence. they thought they were entitled for some reason and didn't work hard enough. So working hard is the main criteria.
You have a lot of confidence in your decision making. Let's talk about that. First of all, would you would agree with that? And then talk about where that comes from. And can you be a good leader if you don't have confidence in your opinions?
Well, it's possible that a leader can be a good leader, even if he has some incompetence, if he communicates with his men very well and he knows who to listen to and take some guidance from his men, that can make him a better leader. But if he is a bad leader and he is so threatened by disagreement that he won't even listen to his men, you've got to do it his way or it won't work at all, that's a bad leader. Even the best leaders that have some confidence in their own ability are still open to listening to their men.
You mentioned listening. How important is that? What part of being a successful leader is based on your ability to actually listen to people?
Well, you really have to listen, especially to people who work for you, because if they have the interests of the company as one of their primary considerations, they're going to be trying to help you be a better leader. So being able to listen to them means that you'll probably make a better decision if you take some advice from your men. And I've had a number of people that I work for thank me for giving them my opinion and improving the way they make a decision. In fact, there was one instance when I was working for the Rohrig division of Pfizer that I refused to do something the way the company had been doing it for years. I just determined that it was not profitable for the company or worth my time to do it that way. And so I disagreed, and my boss was smart enough to say, and he had told me when I interviewed with him for the job that I could do things my way because I'd asked him if I could. So I reminded him that he told me I could do things my way, and he allowed me to do it my way. And the next year, when the same program came up, instead of saying, "Gentlemen, this is the plan this year," he said, "This year, we're on the Hudos plan." And the next year, the whole country went on the Hudos plan. So just standing up and saying, "I don't like this. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for the company." Somebody found out it really didn't work.
You know, and you talk about conflicts being inevitable. If you state your position and you do it articulately, which you did, you're able to, in this case, change the policy in the region as well as across the country. Our guest on the program is Hugh Doss. That's D-O-S-S. The book is Competence and Conflict in the Core and the Courtbook, available wherever books are sold. You were involved in ownership of a number of businesses during your career. Talk about those. Any regrets, any high points, low points of the investments you've got involved in?
Well, I do have one regret. I started a donut shop in Houston, Texas while I was there because I was having so much conflict with my boss's boss that he wouldn't let me get promoted, so I didn't think I had a future with that company. So I started a donut shop because I had discovered them in Abilene, Texas when I was there, and it was a great product. And it didn't work out because I didn't have the right person running it. And the lesson of that is never invest money in a business that you don't want to run, because I did not want to run a donut shop. I just thought it would be successful in the medical center, and it was extremely successful up to a point. And what happened was the guy that I hired didn't make enough donuts in the morning, and he was running out of donuts every day for weeks on end, and I never knew that. I was wondering why sales had topped out. When I found out what was going on, I fired him, tried to replace him, and that didn't work, so I decided to close it up.
So it's interesting.
That was my big regret.
Well, even in failure, there's a lesson there, isn't there? You wouldn't do that again.
That's right. I wouldn't.
Hugh Doss, go ahead. Finish that thought.
This is advice for anybody listening. Never invest in something, that's yours if you don't want to run it.
Yes, invest is the key there. Not necessarily your time, but your time and your money in trying to do that. Let's take the other side of that. Investments that you made, not the donut shop, but others that you really thought were among the wisest. It was like, okay, this was a good move. Not just a lesson, but I'm going to make money on it.
Well, two of them, actually. I invested in a number of dialysis units over the years. I think I counted a total of 15. I don't believe I missed any. But they were very successful. And I continued to be a salesman, as you'll see in the book. I quit working for a specific company because I just had a disagreement with them. It was a dialysis machine company, and I felt that they were running the company into the ground, and I was right. It eventually failed and disappeared, but it caused me to become a rep representing several different companies at a time, and that allowed me to make enough money that I was able to invest in dialysis units. So those were very successful, and I'm happy about that. I also started a medical company because I got a product through the Food and Drug Administration to compete with a company that I represented for 17 years. And they finally fired me because I wouldn't sign a new contract that said, you can only work for us and nobody else. And even if you, even if we fire you, you can't compete against us for 3 years. I refused to sign the contract. They wound up suing me, a lawsuit that I won. But nevertheless, when I won that lawsuit and I could compete against them, I got a product through the Food and Drug Administration, competed with them. Later, that company merged with another company, and it was a wise decision. So between that and the dialysis unit's own, I was very happy with those investments.
You know, it's interesting, the medical companies that you started, it has to be rewarding to not only make it a successful investment so you get a return on your money, but you're actually making lives better for people. Dialysis, for example, that has to make you feel good that I am able to be successful as a businessman, but provide a much needed service as well.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed that because I felt like when I was selling dialysis machines, I was selling the best machine on the market. And I was up to a point, but the company got bought out by another company that ran it into the ground. I mean, there's a lot of story there in the book, but that's what caused me to go into business as a rep for myself. And that worked out too. So when bad things happen, you try to make the best of it that you can.
And bad things will happen to all of us. They will come along and grab us, and you successful if you can survive that. And Hugh has been able to do that. Hugh Doss, D-O-S-S. The book is Competence and Conflict in the Core and the Corp. Book available wherever books are sold. What advice, Hugh, would you have for people who wish to be successful in their chosen career? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think I've said that already, but that's work hard.
Yes.
I mean, I have seen some very poorly talented people, and not very articulate at all, but they worked hard and they made it. They might never become managers or move up, but they can make a pretty good living by working hard.
That's all in the book. The book is available, as I mentioned, wherever books are sold. Since the book has been published, and sometimes it takes a while from the time you write it to it's actually published, any developments or changes that you would like to update or answer any questions? If you go back, what updates would you make in the book if you had that chance?
Well, there's two. The one thing was that my officer's basic class in Quantico, Virginia, had 13 reunions over the year. I wanted to have one more because we were getting old, approaching our 80s, and we had some people that had never been to a reunion, and I wanted to do one more. And we had never invited wives to come to our reunions because we were always going out to see demonstrations or firings or something like that. So this one, we wanted the wives to come. And I had to put it together myself because the guy who had always done our reunions said that he had done his last one. And that was a guy by the name of Joe Dalton from New York. Joe was president of the Chamber of Commerce in his hometown, and he had put these reunions together because he was used to that. Well, I put it together, and we were supposed to meet in March of 2020. And as you know, the pandemic happened, and we had to put it off. And so we finally had the reunion in April of 2022. And originally, when we were doing it in March of 2020, we were planning on having more than 90 people there, including wives. And when we actually had the reunion, it was less than 30 last year. And so during that period of time, we had a number of deaths, a number of people feel like they got too old to travel. Some are still probably concerned about the pandemic. So there weren't as many people, but we did have a good reunion. The other thing, and it's sad that my my daughter Carla died in March.
So sorry to hear that. That is difficult to deal with, and I hope you were doing well, and I hate hearing that, but you'll be in our thoughts. That had to be a very difficult, something a parent shouldn't have to go through, a difficult time to adjust to that. So many great stories of Hugh's life, what he went through, and leadership stories will come out in the book Competence and Conflict in the Corp. The Core and the Corp. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places. About 30 seconds here. I want to go back to I love your honest evaluation of corporations. You say, I can attest that incompetence in corporations is embarrassingly high. Is that still the case? Because sometimes you read the paper and some decisions that are made at the corporate level, and you're like, what in the world were they thinking? You were exposed to that during your career. Is it still a problem, do you think?
It is a problem. And one evidence of that is woke corporations. You know, I cannot understand how a corporation can operate with the attitude of the woke politician. It is amazing to me that they're that dumb. I think incompetence is still quite high in corporations. Certainly more important are more of a problem than it is in the Marine Corps, but I think Marine officers generally are quite good. The Marines know how to pick leaders, and most of them are really good ones.
Well, Hugh, we're out of time, and I really appreciate you taking the opportunity to be with us here on the program today and discuss the book. The book is so well written, Competence and Conflict in the Corps and the Corp. Book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. KingPagesPress.com. The author's marketing consultant arranged our conversation today. Hugh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Any other book you're working on? You got so many great thoughts and ideas. Any sequel to this you're working on?
No, I'm done with books. I've told my story, and I don't write fiction.
Well, I saw you rolled your eyes when I asked that. The video with the you'll see on YouTube, by the way. Then I'm like, okay, this is going to be it. So this will be a collector's item. Get a copy of the book. You'll enjoy reading the stories. See what goes into the development of a competent leader, and that's exactly what you was in his career in the Marine Corps and in the corporate world. Hugh Doss has been our guest on the program. Hugh, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. I enjoyed it.
It has been our pleasure. Book available wherever books are sold. And, of course, more of the information on Hugh available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.